Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 16, Genuine Anointing. Now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that God has given us. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but with doctrine of the Holy Spirit, jointly fitting spiritual things by spiritual means. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. All the minister's efforts will be vanity or worse than vanity if he does not have the Holy Spirit. He must come down from heaven and spread a savor and feeling and relish over his ministry. Among the other means of qualifying himself for his office, the Bible must hold the first place, and the last place must also be given to the Word of God and prayer. Richard Cecil. In the Christian system, the anointing comes from the Holy Spirit. He separates and qualifies men for God's work. This anointing is the one divine enablement by which the preacher accomplishes the peculiar purpose of preaching. Without it, there are no true spiritual results accomplished. The results and forces in preaching do not rise above the results of unsanctified speech. Without it, the forum is as impotent as the pulpit. This divine anointing on the preacher generates spiritual results that flow from the gospel through the Word of God. Without this anointing, these results are not secured. But our gospel did not come unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in full assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. Many pleasant impressions may be made, but they fall far below the purpose of gospel preaching. This anointing may be mimicked. Many things can look like it, and many results can resemble its effects, but they are counterfeit results and appearances. The intensity or softness produced by a pathetic or emotional sermon may look like the movements of the Holy Spirit, but they have no piercing, penetrating, heartbreaking force. No heart-healing balm emerges in these shallow, sympathetic, emotional movements. They are not radical, sin-searching, or sin-curing. This Holy Spirit is the one distinguishing feature that separates true gospel preaching from all other methods of presenting truth. Scripture: When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. John chapter 16, verse 13. It supports and reinforces the revealed truth with all the force of God. It illumines the Word as it broadens and enriches the intellect and empowers it to grasp and comprehend the Word. It enables the preacher's heart and brings it to the point of tenderness, purity, force, and light that are necessary to accomplish the highest results. The Holy Spirit gives the preacher liberty and understanding, and the soul receives freedom and fullness that can be obtained by no other process. Without this anointing on the preacher, the gospel has no more power to multiply itself than any other system of truth. This is the seal of its divinity. The Holy Spirit in the preacher puts God in the gospel. Without the Holy Spirit, God is absent, and the gospel is left to the low and unsatisfactory forces that the ingenuity, interest, or talents of men can devise to enforce and project its doctrines. It is in this element that the pulpit fails more often than any other element. It lapses at this all-important point. Knowledge may astonish. Brilliance and eloquence may delight and charm. Sensation or tactful methods may bring the crowds. Mental power may impress and enforce truth with all its resources, but without the Holy Spirit, each of these will only be as the grinding assault of the waters on Gibraltar. Spray and foam may cover and sparkle, but the rocks are still there, unimpressed and immovable. The human heart can no more be swept of its hardness and sin by these human forces than these rocks can be swept away by the ocean's ceaseless thrashing. This anointing is the consecration force, and its presence is the continuous test of that holiness. This divine anointing on the preacher is what secures his devotion to God and his work. Other forces and motives may call him to the work, but only this is consecration. A separation to God's work by the power of the Holy Spirit is the only consecration recognized by God as legitimate. This heavenly anointing is what the pulpit needs and must have. This divine and heavenly oil applied by God's hand must soften the whole man, heart, head, and spirit, until it separates him with a mighty separation from all earthly, secular, worldly, and selfish motives and goals. It will separate him to everything that is pure and godlike. The presence of this anointing on the preacher creates a turmoil and agitation in many congregations. The same truths have been told in the strictness of the letter, but no ruffle has appeared, no pain or pulsation felt. All is quiet as a graveyard. Another preacher comes, and this mysterious influence is on him. The letter of the word has been fired by the Holy Spirit, and the throes of a mighty movement are felt. The Holy Spirit is what pervades and stirs the conscience and breaks the heart. Spiritless preaching makes everything hard, dry, acrid, and dead. This anointing is not only a memory or an era of the past, but it is also a present, realized, conscious fact. It belongs to the experience of the man as well as to his preaching. It is that which transforms him into the image of his divine master, as well as that by which he declares the truths of Christ with power. This anointing is the power in the ministry to make all else seem insignificant and vain, and by its presence to make up for the absence of all other techniques and programs. This anointing is a conditional gift, and its presence is perpetuated and increased by the same process by which it was at first secured, by unceasing prayer to God, by impassioned desires after God, by seeking it with tireless passion, and by deeming all else loss and failure without it. This anointing comes directly from God in answer to prayer or by the laying on of hands of those who pray. Only praying hearts are hearts filled with this holy oil. Only praying lips are anointed in this way. Prayer, much prayer, is the price of anointed preaching. Prayer, much prayer, is the one condition of keeping this blessing. Unceasing prayer, the anointing never comes to the preacher. Without perseverance in prayer, the anointing, like the day-old manna, breeds worms. Scripture, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be founded in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5.
Of the earth I cry. trouble, a doubt.